As the Lord may help me, I will speak from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 19th verse. The 4th chapter, the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, the 19th verse. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The 4th chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians, the 19th verse. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The occasion of the apostle writing this word and this epistle is interesting and instructive, and as it forms a kind of background to the truth of the text I've read this morning, I will just spend a few moments on it. This epistle was written to the people of God at Philippi when the apostle was a prisoner in Rome. It doesn't appear that at that time he was under very close imprisonment in Rome. It would appear that the epistles from Rome were written during that period referred to at the close of the Acts of the Apostles, when the writer, having traced the apostle's journey to Rome and his reception there, said that he dwelt for 2 whole years in his own hired house, teaching all that came unto him the kingdom of God, and no man forbidding him. So that it would appear the apostle was not in rigorous imprisonment, but still confined to that house, and thereby having liberty providentially to write the instructive epistles that form such a blessed part of the New Testament. Well, while the apostle was there, the saints at Philippi sent a contribution to him with regard to his necessities. We don't know how much. It may not have been very much, but it meant a very great deal to the Apostle Paul, a very great deal more than the actual worth of the gift itself. The Philippians distinguished themselves in this particular. They, without intending it or ever once thinking about it, they brought enduring honor upon their name and their character and their profession by this act of their love. And it would appear that that was the only church that thought to do that. No church, the apostle said, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And it wasn't the first time that they had done it, for he said, "Ye sent unto me once and again, ministering to my necessities." Well, the Philippians did well to do that. They did better than they realized. Oh, how much a spiritual and gracious act may do, what consequences it may have, so far beyond what is once thought of by those who do it. And this gift of the Philippians had these effects. For one thing, it ministered to the apostle's necessity. For although he is careful to say that he doesn't speak with regard to want, that is, he didn't wish to so act upon their feelings as to cause them to feel in such necessity that they must impoverish themselves for his sake. He said, no, I don't speak in respect of want, but still it ministered to my necessities. To minister to the necessities, a wonderful opportunity. And secondly, it greatly warmed his heart. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, he said, that now, at the last, your care of me flourished again. For the apostle felt that there was such a spirit of love behind it, which made the gift to be worth so much more to his spirit than the amount was for his necessity. And we may learn from that how very much the spirit in which a thing is done acts upon those who receive the benefit of it. For love is a wonderful principle. It diffuses itself and it acts upon those who receive these things to cause them to feel, as the apostle did, that it was a great comfort to him. And the apostle felt also that it didn't end with the assistance and the comfort that it gave him. He said, this is an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. He lifted it entirely to a higher and a holier level. He said, this pleases God. This has a sweet savor to him. It is a sacrifice on your part, but it's a sacrifice acceptable in the sight of God. And lastly, it caused the apostle to write this epistle in response to that kind act of love, which no doubt was a great blessing to the Philippians, but it's been a blessing to countless of the people of God in every age since then. Well, now, how little did the Philippians realize what the effect of that kind action on their part would have? That it would gladden Paul's heart, that it would relieve his necessity, that it was a sacrifice having a sweet smell of love and acceptable to God, and that it would prompt him to write an epistle so rich in truth as this epistle is, and such a means of blessing. Well, now, that's the background to my text. The apostle especially bears a part in that in my text. For it is as though he would say, you good people at Philippi, in your love for me, in your compassion for me in my necessity, you sent this kind gift. It's cost you something, but you won't lose by it. I cannot reward you, he might say. I cannot return to you what you've sent to me, but my God will. And he will supply all your needs. He won't let you suffer for what you have done in love to me. He will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we may see from this that the apostle had not only regard to whatever need they might have with regard to providential matters, that they wouldn't suffer any loss by what they had parted with in that particular, but he had an eye to their deeper need. For he adds this, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now God supplieth the needs of his creatures, not from his riches in glory, but from this source, that the gold and silver are his, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. as that God who has all control over all things in a providential and circumstantial way can supply the needs of all his people providentially, but that supply doesn't come from the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. Blessings that come from that source are of a spiritual and holy and heavenly nature, for he supplieth them not from the riches of the gold and silver of this world that he can command, but from the infinite riches of his grace, his love, his mercy, his goodness and his blessedness, and these enriching supplies come not from his providential hand so much as by his dear Son. Spiritual riches come to us by Jesus Christ. Now, having set the matter in that way, for the Lord may help me, I will attempt to develop the theme, and we may take it in these very plain and simple points of truth in it. There is first your need. And take it, brethren, in that way. If I'm helped to speak this morning, I want to speak of your need. Your and mine. My God shall supply all your need. It isn't a general remark that God will supply the needs of his people, but he will supply yours. And then secondly, there is the supply for your need. Need is good in this sense that it's something that gives occasion for God to supply something to us. This word actually, supply, might be rendered, and I understand it might be a somewhat better rendering of the original, fill up. My God shall fill up all your needs. It represents need as a kind of emptiness in us, a capacity that can be filled up. Well now, my God shall supply, he shall fill up your needs. He has such an abundance himself, his riches in glory are so great that whatever your need, he can fill it up. And then, thirdly, there is the way and manner whereby God shall supply your need. It is according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. There you have the infinite fountain and the blessed channel. The fountain is the riches of his glory. The channel is Jesus Christ. And, as the hymn writer put it suitably, 'twas Jesus my friend when he hung on the tree to open the channel of mercy for me. Now, here are simple points. There is your need first, there is God's supply second, and there is the way and means whereby he will supply your need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm thinking this morning, if there's one point of truth, one subject on which I can preach, it is this subject of need. And in what I may be able to set before you concerning it, I may honestly say I shall draw from two sources. The first is my text, and the other is my own needy heart. And anyone who knows their need has got something to express. We are needy creatures. We are needy creatures as creatures. And my text would apply to that, of course, but I'm forgetting to the deeper needs of our soul. Who has needs here this morning? I should be very shut up and very much in bondage if I felt I was endeavouring to preach to people who had no need. I should feel, well, my text is good enough, but it's no word for them. If I have needy souls before me this morning, I have a word for you. My text says, "My God shall supply all your needs." Ask yourself the question, what do I need? Now, our needs spiritually are very varied, and if I just run over some particulars here, perhaps you may feel I've got into your own personal case and state. What do we need? It is very certain, if we are spiritual, if we are being quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost into a spiritual life, we shall be needy. For one thing, do you feel this morning to need spiritual life? Would that word of the psalmist in the 119th psalm at the end of it, you feel, be suitable to you? Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. As though you would say, Lord, oh, if only I could feel my soul to be lively, if only I could feel to be invigorated with divine life and grace and love in my soul. Oh, if only I could feel my faith to be enlivened, and my spirit to be uplifted, and my affections to be invigorated. Oh, how I would praise thee. How I would praise thee with every feeling that I've had. But you may say, it just isn't quite like that with me, at least not as I would have it. I feel to need spiritual life in my soul. And I may say this, it will be encouraging to you at all. That's one of the best needs you can have. Especially in religion, to feel that you need spiritual life in your religion and in your soul, that you're just not satisfied with a formal round in worship or anything else. If the cry of your heart is, oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. When I say you need spiritual life, really, if you have that feeling of need, it would be better and more correct for me to say that what you need is spiritual liveliness. For spiritual life, once imparted to our souls by the Holy Ghost in regeneration, is something we can never lose. Whatever darkness of mind, or conflict, or fear we may come into, and we come into these things sometimes, I'm sure that doesn't take away our spiritual life, but there's so much that takes away our spiritual liveliness. Let my soul live. And how much this matters to us in so many ways. How in spiritual things we feel a dragging in our hearts if we are not lively. Our spirits do not run in the ways of God with freedom. We feel, as the psalmist said, I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. But if the Lord enlivens us, then we can run. Then duty becomes a privilege. Then worship becomes a door to heaven in our souls. Well now, God will supply this need, you know. If he's given you spiritual life, he will supply your need of renewing in that life. He will invigorate you. That's a favorite verse of mine. He to the needy and the faint, his mighty aid makes known, and when their language strength is spent, renews it with his own. Now look, my brethren, God has infinite riches of life. He is the ever-living God. With him is the fountain of life, a fountain from which streams never cease to flow, and never cease to flow to fill up the need of spiritual liveliness in the hearts of his dear people. He will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. The worst that can ever come to a child of God is that he feels so lifeless in his spirit. Nothing worse will come. He will never die. He will never perish. The worst he can feel is to be so lifeless. And as he feels that, it will constitute a need in him for the Lord to supply fresh life to his soul. And Jesus said, you know, because I live, ye shall live. Mark, ye shall live. It means more than ye shall have life, ye shall live. My God will supply your need of liveliness in your soul. And it may come sometimes in ways you don't expect. May come quickly. It's surprising how the Lord can revive our souls spiritually, renew our strength, refresh our hearts, and cause us, as you read in the last part of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, to mount up with wings of eagles, to run and not be weary, and to walk and not faint. Now my God shall supply your need of spiritual life, and as long as there is spiritual life, there will be a spiritual need for life. And don't think for a moment that if you had a reviving and a refreshing in your spirit, that you wouldn't have any further need in this particular, for those who have most life in it feel to need it most of all. In Jesus Christ, there's a fullness of life. This is all a part of the riches of God in glory by Jesus Christ, the riches of his eternal life. But there are other things I want to touch upon, hoping I may drop a word that will be seasonable to you. Do you feel how much you need grace? Grace makes us feel how much we need grace. And we need grace so often, and sometimes the consciousness of the need comes upon us more particularly at certain times. For instance, suppose you have some trial to bear, or some affliction to go through, or some cross to carry, and a cross is never a light thing to carry. There's no such thing as a light cross, and there's no such thing as an easy trial. And you may say, oh, I don't feel I've got grace enough to carry this cross or bear this trial. If I had more grace, I could bear. that I feel that I lack that grace of submission, quietness, confidence in God. I feel to lack grace enough to help me to say concerning this, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You will say, I need grace to say that. Well, God is the God of all grace, isn't he? The God of all grace, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. My brethren, the Lord may permit a trial of some kind to come on us to teach us how much we need grace and to teach us how he can supply that need. Why, if you could take every trial and every difficulty and every cross out of your life, where would you need grace? But then, if you didn't need grace, how would he supply it? If he didn't supply it, you would be the loser. My friends, we gain by everything in which the Lord gives us more grace. And I feel often, and this has been my experience, that we are brought into such cases as that we feel unless the Lord does give us more grace, we just cannot carry through this thing. Well now, my God shall supply your need of grace. Don't measure things by your consciousness of ability to bear this or do that or endure something else. He giveth more grace. And he giveth more grace according to more need. And that often which causes us to feel more need is something painful and distressing to us. But besides that, don't you feel that you need grace to serve God acceptably? Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For to serve God is to honor and glorify his name in those ways and means that are according to his word and his will. For what is according to his word is according to his will. And what is according to his will glorifies his name. That we need grace to serve God acceptably. It will be a great mistake for anyone to set themselves out to serve God, however well-meaning they were in it, and however much they might even desire to serve God according to his word, they would make a great mistake to set out to serve God without first seeking his grace. For it's an empty service that isn't filled up with grace. God must fill up our need. He must fill up our need of grace before we can serve him alive. I know that serving God does stand in doing things, but we may do those very things and not serve God in doing them. It's whether we do them graciously. And oh, how we do need grace to sanctify our hearts and to make us more gracious ourselves. Would you be more gracious in your spirit? More humble, more tender, more forgiving, more Christ-like? Then you need more grace. I should be more gracious if I had more grace. Well, my God shall supply all your needs with regard to grace. There are infinite riches of grace with God, and that it comes to us by Jesus Christ. Don't then be despondent with regard to your sense of lacking grace so much? There's a fountain to supply. There's an infinite fullness with God. He giveth grace without measure. If our need of grace was far greater than it is, still my God would supply it. Let me mention a few more things this morning. Not so much on each point. Because I want, if I can, to touch your need this morning. Well, do you feel that you need holiness? That you need holiness? You do, you know. And so do I. And perhaps that word may try your mind about yourself, as it so often has mine. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But how can this need be met? Shall I or shall you set about making ourselves holy? All that will labor in the fire. The fire that would burn up every attempt to do it, like a fire would burn up straw. The fire of sin and temptation would burn up all our attempts to make ourselves holy. And we must not confuse these things and suppose that obedience to God's precepts and God's word is the way to make ourselves holy. My God must supply our holiness. And all holiness comes from his holy name and nature. He is glorious in holiness. His holiness is a great part of the riches that he has in glory. He is rich in holiness. And he supplies our need of holiness by Jesus. Now, if I know anything for myself, really know it, it's this, that there's not the least vestige of holiness in me that hasn't come to me by Jesus Christ. If there's any holiness in me at all or in you, it's come from a holy God, and it's come by a holy Christ. And it's come by his person. It's come by his precious blood. Now my God shall supply your need of holiness. To this rush to speak as I have said, to do his will and to pray, that it's with God to supply holiness to us. And don't mix up holiness with righteousness. Righteousness respects our standing in the sight of God according to his just law. Holiness concerns the state and condition of our souls in ourselves. And never forget it, true holiness is likeness to Jesus Christ. Oh, I have thought sometimes, I really have, that I should never be holy. I really have. And when sin has risen up in my heart and in my mind, I thought I should never be holy. And I've certainly learned this, I shall never be holy in and of myself. But if my God supplies my need of holiness, I shall be holy surely. If he impart that grace to me, that Christ-like spirit, I shall be holy. But it will be his holiness, not mine. His holiness in me. Something he supplied to me, imparted to me, filled up my emptiness, my want, my utter emptiness of holiness. It's something that he's filled up from himself. my God will supply your needs. So that however much you feel the sinfulness of your nature, don't look upon it as a hopeless matter. It's what God will supply, not what you contribute. It's what God will make you to be, not what you can make yourself to be. If he supplies our need of holiness, well, then we shall stand before him at last without blame and lie. Do you feel very deeply sometimes your need of cleansing? You say, oh, I do feel it. I feel that sin stains my soul. Oh, I wish I was clean. I wish I was purged from every guilty stain in my soul. Well, my God shall supply your need of cleansing. How well he can supply that need by Jesus Christ, seeing that all cleansing, all comes to us through his precious blood. Do you feel your need of spiritual food? Do you say, I feel in myself, I want some to nourish me, to strengthen me. I feel I need food for my soul as much as I need food for my body. I faint unless I feed on thee and drink thy blood as shed for me. Well now, my God shall feed you. He shall feed you. There is his word and truth. There is the person and work of Jesus Christ. There is his great love, his rich mercy, his sovereign grace. All this feeds and nourishes us. I believe some of our friends felt the word on Thursday night to feed their souls. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in sin. Well, now that's rich too. His great love, his rich mercy. If you need food, my God will supply. Perhaps you may say, what I feel to need so much is comfort. My spirit is sorrowful. Well, the Lord knows your need of comfort. How much the disciples needed comfort. When as the Lord said to them, now therefore ye have sorrow. Sorrow belongs to this life, brethren. It belongs to this life. And the people of God are not exempt from it, but on the other hand, they have sorrow in ways others don't have. We are troubled, Paul says, on every side. If you feel sorrowful this morning, you need comfort. The people of God don't always need comfort, but they do sometimes. That the gospel word, though it's in the prophecy of Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And so will God supply the need of comfort to his sorrowful people, but he's expressly given the Holy Ghost to be a comforter to them. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And the comforter comes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God supplies your need of comfort, Jesus Christ. There's no sorrow under which the Holy Spirit cannot supply our comfort. Perhaps you feel that you need instruction in the things of God. You're taught enough to feel you need to be taught. You feel ignorant. Or you can say, gracious God, what I see not, teach thou me. You might say of Jesus Christ, I wish I knew him. I wish I knew him. You might say of God, I wish I knew that God. Well, he will supply your need of teaching. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's place, his majesty's door, live near his arms, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his will is seen. If you need life, he is the ever living God. If you need grace, he is the God of all grace. If you need comfort, he is the God of all comfort. If you need cleansing, he cleanseth by the precious blood of his dear Son. Whatever you need, Jesus Christ is the means and God is the giver. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. In him there dwells a treasure, all divine and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. My brethren, I couldn't this morning as I stand before you in the Lord's name wish you or pray that you might have a sweeter, deeper, richer blessing that will have that verse fulfilled in your soul.